Be here today on a special day of Zayin Adar. Today it's historical significance going way back for centuries. Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday, Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. Haman got it wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't just die in this month. Moshe Rabbeinu was born in this month. And we are here to continue his legacy, studying his Torah. He is the Rabbeinu. He is our ultimate Rebbe. Memory and forgetting and forgetfulness are both part of the human condition. If we wouldn't have either one, we wouldn't be able to function. We have to remember things throughout our life. We have to remember where we parked. We have to remember if we took our medicine. We have to remember what we ate for lunch, whether we ate lunch. We can't live without memory. Memory is part of our life. Yet if we think about it, forgetting is also part of our life. And if we wouldn't forget things and forget feelings, we also wouldn't be able to function. If we had the same feeling of joy for the rest of our life that we have at certain moments of simcha, at times of a wedding, at times of a birth, of times of feeling great nachas for a relative, or Rachmana Litzlan, if the feeling of loss that we feel when we hear of a patira, if that feeling continued, we also wouldn't be able to function. So memory and forgetting are both part of the human condition and something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put into our lives in order to help us live. And yet, there are certain mitzvos, certain ideas, certain items that Chazal felt, our rabbis felt, and even the Torah felt, these are too important to forget. These you must remember. These have to be with you every day of your life. Just by way of introduction, some examples. On a Derabbanan level, on a rabbinic level, I gave you two examples where there were two ideas that the Rabbanan, the rabbis felt these ideas are too important to forget, and you must remember them. Source number one, the Mishnah in Beitza tells us of the mitzvah de Rabbanan called Eruv Tavshilin. We know that when there's a yontif that falls out on a Thursday, Friday, or just on a Friday, we have a mitzvah to set aside a cooked food from Erev Yontif, from Thursday, or from Wednesday, whichever the case may be. Why do we set aside a specially cooked food and a baked food? We even make a special bracha. So the Gemara, source number one, the Gemara tells us where it's underlined on the fourth line, Minohani Mili. Why do we set aside a baked and cooked item even before Yontif starts? Amar Shmuel de Amar Kra, Zacharis Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, Zachreyu Me'achar Shebala Hashkicho. You know what might happen? It's Yontif before Shabbos. On Yontif, I'm very hungry. I'm going to eat all my food. I'm not going to remember. I'm not going to have anything left for Shabbos. So you know what? Chazal said, set aside something for Shabbos even before Yontif starts. And in that way, you won't forget that Shabbos is tomorrow. You won't forget that you'll eat all your food by mistake and not save anything for the second day. So Chazal came up with the rabbinic mitzvah of Erev Tavshilin. One example of a mitzvah to help us remember something. Or a second example, again, this is all by way of introduction. The Mishnah tells us, based on the Psukim in the Torah, that when we had a Beis HaMikdash, amazingly, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, we only shook a lulav one day. Outside of the Beis HaMikdash, outside of Yerushalayim, we only shook the lulav the first day of Sukkos. Ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon. That's what the Torah says. Says the Mishnah in Maseches Sukkah in source number 2, Mishnah Barishona Hayolulav Nita B'Mikdash Shiva U'B'Medina Yom Echad. In the Beis HaMikdash, they shook it all 7 days. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, wherever one might live in Galus, they only shook the lulav the first day of Sukkos. Mishacharav Beis HaMikdash, but once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Shiyehe Lulav Nito B'Medina Shiva. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says you can't forget the Beis HaMikdash. We can't forget what was done in days of old. And you know what? Shake a lulav all 7 days. Take a lulav every day of Sukkos, midrabanan, on a rabbinic level, so you don't forget the Beis HaMikdash. Midrabanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai felt, it's too important to forget. So these are two examples, midrabanan, where Chazal felt, we don't want you to forget, remember these. But there are 6 items where even the Torah itself goes out of its way to tell us, don't forget. Remember these 6 items. They are too important for any Jew to forget any day of their life. And these are known as the Sheish Zechiros, the six remembrances, the six times it says the word Zachor in the Torah. The Ramban, Nachmanides, even counts each one of these as a separate mitzvah aseh d'oraisa, a separate biblical commandment to remember these six each day of our life. You have them in source number 3, the six zechiros, the vav zechiros. These are all printed at the end of Shacharis in every Siddur. Some even have the minhag, it's quoted by the Arizal, to say each of these every day after Shacharis. Right, the Magen Avraham quotes that in the next source, that there's a minhag to say these every day. Whether we say them or not, they must be important. If the Torah goes out of its way to remember, tell us to remember them. What are these Shei Zechiros? Let's just go through them quickly, and then obviously we'll spend more time on each one. In source number 3, the first one is Zechiros Yitzias Mitzrayim, L'man Tizkaros Yom Tzeis L'meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Number 2 is remembering Har Sinai, remembering Maimon Har Sinai. Number 3, something that connects actually to Purim, which we'll talk a little bit about this week, remembering the story of Amalek. Number 4, if you see on in the title there, it's called the Maisa HaEgel. Remember that we did the Egel. We'll have to see if that's true according to all commentators, because the pasuk that's quoted does not mention the Egel explicitly. The source says, Zachar al tishkach, don't forget, Eis asher etzachta Hashem alkecha b'midbar. Remember how you angered God in the desert? So most say that means the Egel. Number 5, remember Miriam, how she spoke Lashon Hara about her brother Moshe. And finally, number 6, Zacharis Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, remember Shabbos. These are the six that the Torah says we can't forget. These are too important to remember. What is it about these six? What is it that makes the Torah emphatic to tell us don't forget these six items? Is there a common theme? Is there a thread that binds these six zechiros, known as the Sage Zechiros? Is there one coherent message, or at least one unit of messages that we could walk away with, so that whether we have the minhag to say them each day or we don't, we definitely could glean certain messages for our life from these Shei Zechiros? Rav Soloveitchik writes in source number 5 that when we think of remembering and memory in Yahados, in Judaism, it's not a separate idea that we remember what happened in the past. Writes Rav Soloveitchik in source number 5, in order to understand what experiential memory is, we must recognize that there are two kinds of memory. The first is an intellectual memory which mechanically recalls and assembles factual data. The examples that I gave before, where did I park? Did I take my medicine? What did I eat for lunch? That's intellectual data. I remember that something happened, and it stays in the past. The other memory recalls experiences by evoking the feelings of the past events. Judaism insisted that the Jews recall not only the factual events of the past, but that in addition, the experiences of the past retained their vigor undiminished despite the passage of time. We're familiar with this idea from the night of the Seder. Chayev Adam liros etz atzmo ki'ilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. We have to feel as if each of us left Egypt the night of Pesach. And yet Rav Soloveitchik expands and says maybe that applies to any memory that we have in Yahadus. Anything that God demands of us to remember means that we're supposed to relive, we're supposed to ignite those feelings again within us and imbibe the messages of those events. So now let us study together the Shei Zechiros. One of them obviously connecting to Purim coming up, Parsha Zachar this week. And hopefully, throughout the next couple of minutes, we'll be able to see that maybe there aren't six separate ideas, but first we will see that there are really three pairs of ideas. Six that are really three, and then hopefully all the way at the end of the shiur, we'll be able to see it's three that's really one. So first, let us see the six that goes into three pairs. So let's begin. Zechiras HaMalek. Let's start with that one. Parsha Zachar this week. We all have a mitzvah aseh d'oraisa to remember what Amalek did to us. What exactly are we supposed to remember about Amalek? Amalek attacked us. We read the psukim at the end of Parsha's Kisisa. He attacked us. He was the first one to attack us when we left Mitzrayim. What exactly does the Torah want from us? That we're supposed to remember that there was an evil nation. Let's learn a Rashi together. Source number 6. Asher karcha baderech. The Torah tells us that Amalek attacked you on the road, and the word used in the Torah is karcha. asher karcha baderech. Rashi gives three pshatim. What does the word karcha mean? That he happened upon you on the road. See Rashi. Asher karcha baderech, lashon mikre. First pshat of Rashi, mikre. It means coincidence. It means it happens. He happened to meet you on the way. Lashon mikre. Number one, asher karcha. Number two, davar acher. Rashi gives a second shot. Lashon keri vituma. Karcha is a lashon keri, a nocturnal, impure emission. Keri tuma, impurity. That's a second lashon of mikre, from the word keri, symbolizing tuma. Number three, Rashi says, end of the first line, davar acher, lashon kar vachom. Karcha from lashon cold. Kar, he made you cold. Tzinencha v'hifshircha miriticha. Amalek cooled you off from your boiling. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Shahayukala umos yireim lihilachim bachem. All the nations of the world were fearful. They didn't want to attack the Jewish people. Imagine the Jews just went through Eser Makos, Makas Bechoros, Kriyas Yamsuf. Nobody's coming near us. We say in Oz Yashir every morning, all the other nations of the world, they don't want to come near B'nai Yisrael. They were scared. Forget it, Tiviemo, Emasav Afachad, Bigdol Lambs, right? We say in Oz Yashir that they were all scared. We were boiling with Emunah. We were boiling and no nation wanted to come close. Comes Amalek and says, I'll attack them. I'll cool them off. Bazeh v'hischil v'heramakom achirim. Amalek attacks us. Rashi then gives the mashal. Imagine if you have a boiling hot bathtub. Bubbling. Nobody wants to go in. It's very hot. One person decides to jump in. One person wants to be the guinea pig. He gets a little burned, but he cools off the bathtub for everyone who comes in afterwards. Amalek cooled us off, says Rashi. Lashon kar vachom. So Rashi gives three pshatim. Number one, lashon mikre, coincidence. Number two, keri, impurity. And number three, kar cold. Rav Sternbach, in source number 7, one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael today, among others, suggest that maybe all three pshatim in Rashi could be put together. Maybe there's one underlying theme. What does Amalek symbolize? And what's the pernicious nature of Amalek? What belief did he bring into the world? Says Rav Sternbach in source number 7. V'nira levayer bazeh, she'ikir tumas Amalek asher karcha, shahakol mikre. Amalek brought into the world that everything is coincidence. He undermined the belief in Hashkachas Hashem. He undermined the belief that Hashem is in charge of everything. Hashem is in control. Via filo acharei nisim v'neflos ha'galudlim shahayu b'yitzias Mitzrayim. Even after all the miracles that happened in Mitzrayim, and every other nation said it's the hand of God, you can't argue, it's clear, it's Hashkachas Hashem. Amalek comes and says, no, it's okay, no, maybe it's really not God. Maybe it was a windy day, and the Yam Suf splits. They brought doubts of God into the world. That's what Amalek stood for. Continuing the end of line 5. V'tumah zos limchok roshem yetzias Mitzrayim shenitam l'doros olam nimshach v'holech ad hayom hazeh v'nikra tumas Amalek. Amalek is about things just happen. It's not really the hand of God. It's mikre. It's coincidence. Things just happen to work out. That cooled off Emunah in the entire world. Third pshat of Rashi, Lashon kar vachom, and that's the symbol of tuma. The ultimate tuma impurity is when we don't believe that God is behind everything. Amalek brought that into the world. The idea that God is not behind everything, and all the other nations didn't want to come near us. But Amalek said, I could do it, it's okay. The Mefarshim explained that even the name Amalek tips us off about this. Many know that suggest that the word Amalek is the same gematria as the word Suffolk, doubts. Amalek brought doubt into the world. Amalek said, maybe it's not God behind the scenes. Maybe there's things that just happen. I once heard from a Ephraim Waxman, one of the great Darshanim from Muncie, he says, even the word Amalek, think about the word. Amalek is an Am, it's a nation, Lamid Kuf. that could take a lamed, which is the tallest letter in the Aleph Beis, the tip of the lamed, some great event, some amazing maisa that took place in the world, and Amalek is a nation that could bring it down to the lowest point, the bottom of the kuf, the bottom, the lowest point in the Aleph Beis. He's an Am that takes the top of the lamed and it brings it to the bottom of the kuf. The greatest gilui of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the greatest revelation that takes place, the Ten Makos, the Kriyas Yams of Amalek could just wipe it out and say, things just happen. Things just happen. I could attack the Jewish people. They're not so great. I could attack them. Even the story of Purim, as we know, Haman from descended of Agag, the king of Amalek. The story of Purim, if we have this idea, we could shed newfound light. What does the word Purim mean? Pur. Pasuk tells us in the Megillah, in source number 10, Bachodesh Harishon uChodesh Nisan, in the first month, Nisan, Bishnah Shem Esrei Lamelech Achashverosh, in the 12th year of Achashverosh, Hipil Pur. Haman made a lottery. The whole story of Purim is potluck. The whole story of Purim is coincidence. Haman said, when should I destroy the Jewish people? Let me see. Let me make a lottery. You look throughout the Megillah, God's name is not mentioned. It all appears like coincidence. It all appears like things just happen. That's Haman. That's Amalek. That's Safek. Our victory over Haman, our victory over Amalek, is that we know that God's in charge. We know that really there's a divine hand that is behind the Megillah. We know when it says HaMelech in the Megillah, it's the capital K, King. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really behind the events. The story of Purim is about coincidence, but our victory over Amalek symbolizes our victory in the belief of Hashkachas Hashem. So if we think about our first Zecher, Zechiras Amalek, we might say that our mitzvah is to remember that God's hand is involved behind the scenes in world events. That's Zechiras Amalek. Number two, what's pair? What could pair with Amalek? Which of the Shei Zechiras can we put with it? Let's suggest source number 11. The Ramban's words about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Ramban asks a simple question. This is the last Ramban in Parshas Bo. The Ramban asks, why do we have so many mitzvos that have to do with remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim? More than any other event in our history, we have more mitzvos to remember Mitzrayim. Kiddush, Havdalah, Tfilin, Mezuzah, Pidyon HaBen. So many mitzvos. Pesach, Matzah. So many events, so many mitzvos. Kriyas Yamsov doesn't get one mitzvah. Matan Torah, maybe one mitzvah. So many events, the walls of Yericho falling down, not one mitzvah. Amazing events. And yet Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, says the Ramban, gets so many mitzvos. Why? Now we read the words of the Ramban. Source 11. V'ata omer lecha klal b'tam mitzvos rabo. Says the Ramban, let me explain a yesod, a principle regarding many mitzvos. Hinei me'eis heyos avodas galilim ba'olam b'yimei enosh. Since the days of old, when beliefs in Avodah Zarah started, hechelu hadeos lehishtabesh be'emuna, there have been many mistaken beliefs in the world. Mehem kofrim bi'ikr v'omrim ki ha'olam kadmon. There are those that are atheists. There are those that say, there was never a God. The world has always been here. It's always existed. That's one level of kfira, one level of denial. Kachashu b'ashem v'yomer lohu. He said, there is no God. End of line two. Umehem, there are others. Machishim biyedi aso hapratis. Va'amru echa yadakel v'yejdeya be'elyon. There are others that say, no, there was a God, but he left. He created a world, but, you know, how could the world come about without a God? You look around, there was a God, but he's not interested anymore. He's busy. He went somewhere else. Umehem, middle of line three. Sheyodu biyediya umachishim b'hashgacha. And there are others, say the Ramban, that believe there was a creator, believe there is a creator, but he has no power. He knows what's going on, but he does not control what's going on. Continuing, v'yasu adam kedigei hayam shelo yeshkiach hakel bahem. People are like fish, that they don't have any special hashgacha. V'ein imam schar va'onesh. So there are all these non-believers in the world, say the Ramban. What does God do about it? Now where it's underlined. V'kasher yirtzah elokim be'eda o b'yachid, v'yasa imahem mofes, B'shinui minhago shel olam b'tivo. Every once in a while, when Hashem wants to undermine, wants to disprove all of these non-believers, He throws in a miraculous event. He changes teva, He changes nature. And with that event, Yisbara lakol bitul hadeos ha'ela kulam. Once a miracle takes place, then all of their beliefs fall to the wayside. There is a God that created the world, there's a God that knows about the world, and obviously there's a God that controls the world, and that controls nature. He might have created nature, but He can change nature whenever He wants. The end of line 5. Ki ha-mofes ha-niflad, the wondrous act, moreh, reflects, she-yesh la-olam eloka machad, so there is a God that constantly renews the world, v'yodeya u-mashkiach v'yachol, and He knows and He is able. Every once in a while, God throws in a miraculous event. A number of years ago, during the first Gulf War, at the time, many felt and realized that it was a miraculous event. 39 Scud missiles. These Scud missiles are the size of buildings. They're huge. 39 missiles hit Eretz Yisrael. Not one person directly is killed by the missile. Haman al-Islan. One missile hit Saudi Arabia. More than 100 American soldiers are killed. A tragedy. And we mourn for them. And yet 39 Scuds hit Eretz Yisrael and not one person is affected by the missile. Yad Hashem, open miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu every once in a while throws into the world miraculous events to undermine the beliefs that God is not in charge. To make sure that everyone knows, I am the Mashgiach, I control everything. Says the Ramban, the miraculous event in our history, the event that took place when our nation was born, on a national level, that was Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's why there are so many mitzvos to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because that mitzvah underscores the idea that God is in charge. Ubavur, line 12. Ke'akadosh Baruch Hu lo yaseh osu mofis b'chol dar. God can't do miraculous events every day that we wouldn't have b'chira chafshis. We wouldn't have free choice. He can't create a world that there's constantly miracles. So therefore, Yitzava Osanu, so He commands us. Shenasa Tamid Zichron Va'os, we have to always have a remembrance. La'asher Ra'u Einenu, to what our eyes saw. And if we constantly remember Yitzias Mitzrayim, we will remember that really He is in charge. Really He was the Mashkiach. Those miraculous events from when our nation was born. That's why there are so many events. And He even continues the end of line 18. Source line 18. That's why there are so many mitzvos, to remember Mitzrayim. To be with us in all generations. It's to make sure that we have the belief that we realize God is in charge. So if we take a step back and think about it, we have our first pair. Zechiras Amalek and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Amalek symbolizes, we remember that there was a nation that wanted to bring Suffolk into the world. To bring into the world a belief that everything's coincidence, things just happen. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the positive to what Amalek was the negative. Yetzias Mitzrayim, we remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. We remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kol Yachol, and He is the one that is in charge in the divine hand behind world events. We have our first pair. Next, let's focus now on Matan Torah. Matan Torah, remembering Matan Torah. This is a mitzvah saseh, as I mentioned at the beginning, the Ramban counts each one of these as a separate mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, a separate biblical commandment. I gave it to you in source number 12. The Ramban says about Matan Torah. HaMitzvah HaShniya SheNimnanu Shlo Nishkach Maimon Har Sinai. We can't forget Maimon Har Sinai. V'lo Nasir Oso Midaitenu. We can't remove it from our minds. Avo Yiyu Einenu V'libenu Sham Kol HaYamim. We have to constantly think about it. And again we ask, what exactly are we supposed to remember about Matan Torah? The lightning, the thunder, the amazing event. What are we supposed to think about? Writes the Beis Halevi. Beis Halevi. Rav Soloveitchik. He was also a Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik from our yeshiva, his great-grandfather, writes the Beis Halevi. We all know the amazing statements that Klal Yisrael said at Maimon Har Sinai, Na'aseh v'nishma. We will do and we will hear, said at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. It's amazing. Parshas Yisrael was the Parshas Maimon Har Sinai. You look through all Parshas Yisrael, Na'aseh v'nishma is not there. Na'aseh v'nishma is tucked away at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, where Maamar Har Sinai is replayed. Take two. So says the Beis Halevi, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear. V'al kavanah zu, source 13, Amr Yisrael az Na'aseh v'nishma, de'na'aseh ka'i shekiblu aleihem la'asos kol ha'amr lahem az, Na'aseh, we accept to do whatever we know already, and of course, nishma, we accept and we'll do everything you tell us to do in the future. Ask the Beis Halevi a question. How was this commitment binding? What's the problem? The Beis Halevi quotes a Rambam. Line 7. V'hine yadua da'as ha-Rambam. The Rambam's view is known. Da'hamachayev atzmo bedavar she'eno katsuv lochau alav ha-chiyu v'hashibud klal. If I come over to you and say, I owe you $1 million. Is that obligation binding? So the halacha is, it is. I could obligate myself to anything. I obligate myself to pay you $1 million. What if I come over to you and say, I owe you whatever you want me to owe you. I owe you whatever you say. Says the Rambam, that is not binding. An obligation has to be on a davar katsuv, on a definite article. You can't obligate yourself to something that is not definite. It's got to be on a davar katsuv. So you can say $1 million, that's definite. But you can't say on whatever you say. That kind of obligation is not binding. Says the Beis Halevi, asks the Beis Halevi, how did Na'aseh v'nishma work? Na'aseh v'nishma, Hashem, we're going to do whatever you tell us to do. That doesn't work. Look in the Rambam. The Rambam says that you have to have an obligation. Obligations only work on something that's definite. Ask the Beis Halevi where it's underlined. Line 13. V'im kein Yisrael, shekiblu atzma machiyuv. They accepted upon themselves an obligation. Kodem sheyedu hapratim. Before they knew the details, l'chora heich chal aleihem hachiv. How was the obligation binding? They just said, we're going to do, Hashem, whatever you tell us to do. That doesn't work halachically. So what kind of obligation was it? How was it binding upon Klal Yisrael? How did Na'aseh v'nishma work? Says the Beis Halevi, we have to understand exactly what Na'aseh v'nishma was. B'nai Yisrael did not say, Hashem, we'll do whatever you want us to do. Because obviously that won't work. But you know what would work, says the Beis Halevi? A person can't go, Reuven can't go over to Shimon and say, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But you know what a person can do? I could go over to you and say, I declare that I am your servant. I could create a relationship between us. I could create a context between us. I am your servant. Once I am your servant, step one, then, Mamela, I have to do whatever you tell me to do. Step two. Because once I am your servant and you are my master, so then a servant has to do whatever the master wants him to do. So if I'm not your servant and you're not my master, I can't say, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. But I could say, I am your servant. And then whatever you tell me to do, I'll have to do. Na'aseh v'nishma. We said, we did not say, Hashem, we will do whatever you want me to do. We said, Hashem, we are your servants. Hashem, we are Avdei Hashem. That's what happened to Na'aseh v'nishma. We have no idea what you're going to tell us to do. We have no hasaga or understanding of what it's going to entail to be the Jewish people throughout history. But you know what? We're your servants. We are Avdei Hashem. That's what happened to Na'aseh v'nishma. Writes the Beis Halevi on the left side. Line 7. Avol mocher atzmo le'eved. If somebody sells himself to be a servant, einu makabo lav shum chiyav. That is not an acceptance of obligation. Rak makne gufo l'rabo. He is makne. He acquires his body to his master. Ubazeh shaper chal hakinyan. That would work. V'kivin shahaguf nasa shal arav. Once I become of the masters, hari memele mukhiyav lasas kol mash yomar harav. Step two, I have to do whatever my master tells me. Na'aseh v'nishma. We said, Hashem, we will do whatever you want us to do. We accept to be your servants. And there's even an Unkelis, one of the great translators of our generation. Unkelis even tips us off to this. Turning the page, in source number 15, Unkelis translates nishma. What does nishma mean, na'aseh v'nishma? Nishma can mean we will hear, from the word Shema, Shema Yisrael. Unkelis doesn't translate it as hear. Unkelis says, last word in source 15, Nikabel, we accept. We accept to be your avadim. We are avdei Hashem. That's what happened at Naaseh v'Nishma. When we remember Matan Torah, we remember our unwavering commitment to be avdei Hashem. Not based on anything that we understand, but we commit to be his avadim. What my pair with this one? Maimed Har Sinai. So let's focus on the one that's called Zechiras Maisa HaEgel. I gave you the psukim in Surah 16. The pasuk says, Zachar, again that word, Zachar al tishkach eis asher hiksafta as Hashem alakecha bamidbar. Remember, don't forget how you angered God in the desert. L'min hayom asher yitzasa me'eres Mitzrayim, from the day that you went out of Egypt, ad bo'achem al makom hazeh, until you came to this place, mamrim hayisem im Hashem, you were rebellious with God. Most commentators assume that what is this pasuk referring to? This pasuk does not say exactly what it's referring to. Most say that this is referring to the Maisa HaEgel, the golden calf. Remember how you angered God? Where else did we anger God more than the Maisa HaEgel? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, though, begs to differ. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, look at the next pasuk in the Torah. Pasuk Ches. U'bechorev hiksaftem es Hashem. In chorev you angered God. Vayis'anav Hashem b'chem l'hashmin eschem. And Hashem wanted to destroy you. What's that pasuk about? That pasuk is about the Egel. We anger God in chorev. And says Rabbi Yaakov, there's a vav at the beginning of pasuk Ches. Vav means and. Meaning it's a separate event than the previous pasuk. U'bechorev, and in chorev you angered God by the Egel. Says Rabbi Yaakov, so the previous pasuk cannot be referring to the Maisa HaEgel. Because pasuk Ches is referring to the Maisa HaEgel. Pasuk Zion must be referring to something else. Writes Rabbi Yaakov in Source 18. Hine yish lono ledatek. Lahavin al eze iruah koya pasuk hazeh. What is our pasuk of Zachar referring to? Skipping down, Hare line 6, Shasham Medubar Maisa HaEgel. The second pasuk, Pasuk Ches, is referring to the Egel. V'yimkein yish l'tamua al makoya pasuk danan. What is our pasuk referring to? When did we anger God before the Egel? Moshe Rabbeinu is giving a Jewish history lesson here in Sefer Dvarim. When did we anger God before the Egel? What is this pasuk referring to that we're supposed to remember? Suggests Rabbi Yaakov, if you look in the Torah, so when did we anger God before the Egel? There wasn't too much time from Yetzias Mitzrayim to the Egel. There's only one event recorded. And it's even, when we hear it in Shul, it even strikes us right after Kriyas Yamsuf, B'nai Yisrael, an amazing, amazing high point. This very next pasuk, right after Miriam sings her song, it's always somebody in my shul that comes over to me right after laying Parshas B'Shalach, right after davening, he always comes over and says, Rabbi, I have a question. He always asks me the same question every year. This year he came over, I said, I know what you're going to ask me already. The question is, how are they on such a high level? And right afterwards they start complaining that they're thirsty. Right after Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, that's his question. But anyway, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he thinks that's what is being referred to here. When they complained for water in Marah. They were thirsty, they were bitter trees, there was bitter water. That's the only event recorded of Bnei Yisrael's complaining between Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Egel. And this pasuk, as he proved, has to be referring to something before the Egel. So he thinks they were complaining in Marah. So what exactly is that event about? They complained in Marah. Why did they complain? What was behind their complaint? Says Rabbi Yaakov, maybe we could understand it a little better and deeper by looking at another chazal. They got a certain mitzvos in Marah. Rashi already quotes it, that certain mitzvos were given to the Jewish people in Marah before they got the Torah. They were going to get the Torah in another couple of weeks. Not too long, another 6 weeks, they were going to get the Torah. Yet God felt the need to give them certain mitzvos even before they got the Torah. They had to have certain mitzvos now. Which mitzvos did they get? Kibud Av V'Em is one of them, some suggest. Shabbos, others say. So those two, okay, you can have Kibud Av V'Em before you get the Torah. Shabbos, what else? There's one more. Rashi quotes Para Aduma. That they got the halachos, they received the halachos of Para Aduma. That if somebody becomes Tamei, you burn a cow that's all red, and you take the ashes and you sprinkle it on them, and they become Tahar. Ask Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, why did they get the mitzvah of Para Aduma? Para Aduma you need a Mishkan for. They didn't have the Mishkan yet. They couldn't do Para Aduma yet. You could do Kibud Av V'Em already, okay. You could do Shabbos. You can't do Para Aduma yet. What were they getting Parah Dumer for in Mara? What'd they need that for? Says Rabbi Yaakov, Parah Duma, as many explain, is the symbol of the fact that we serve God not because we understand everything. Parah Duma, Chazal tell us, is the only mitzvah that Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, is the only mitzvah that he couldn't understand. Why couldn't he understand it? The Kohanim who prepare the Parah Aduma become Tamei while they prepare the Parah Aduma. Though the Parah Aduma has the power of purity, of Tahara. Doesn't make sense. They become Tamei. They bring purity. Shlomo HaMelech could not understand this mitzvah out of all the mitzvos. Parah Aduma is the symbol of a chok. The symbol that we do mitzvahs not because we understand everything, but because we serve God, because He tells us to serve Him. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, B'nai Yisrael come to Mara. They're thirsty. They see bitter water. They see bitter trees. They say, Alpi logic. According to logic, it doesn't make sense how we're going to survive. We're in the middle of the desert. We have nothing. Bitter, bitter, bitter. It doesn't make sense. Hashem says, Parah Aduma. Your existence with me and your serving me is not because you understand everything. And not because everything is based on seichel and because you understand it. I take care of you and your commitment to me is unwavering because you are my servants. And I'll take care of you that way. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on the left side. Line 5. She'ikar halimut shel maisa b'mara hayala haros lanu to teach us. Ki ratzon Hashem yisbarak hu amamtik. Hashem is the sweetener, capital S. Klomar, in other words, Sha'af Shahayu Hamayim Marim, even though the water was bitter, Moshe Hishlech Eitz Malatocho, and Moshe throws in a bitter tree, Afal Pike Nimtziku Hamayim, the water becomes sweet. Ki Hakol Hare Nigzar Al Yedei Chachmoso Yizbarach, Hashem is in charge of everything. And quoting a line from the Gemara, Misha Amar L'Shemed V'Yadlik, Yomer Lachomitz V'Yadlik, the same one who says that oil should burn will say vinegar shall burn. Parah Aduma was given to Klal Yisrael right at Mara because they had the mistaken mentality that everything they did was based on logic, based on because they understood it. Hashem says, no, Parah Aduma. You serve me not because of your Havana, not because you understand everything. That's the message they needed. That's Zachar Asher Hiksafta, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. You know what that Zachira means? Remember Parah Aduma. Remember that you serve me not because you understand everything, but because I take care of you and I'm in charge. If we think about it now, 6 weeks later after this event takes place, B'nai Yisrael say, Nasa V'Nishma. If we put these two Zachiras together, we have our second pair. Zachar Asher Ksafta, according to Rabbi Yaakov, is Parah Aduma. Remember that you serve me not based on logic, not because you understand everything and you know everything, but because you are committed to me. B'nai Yisrael got the message. 6 weeks later, they say Nasa V'Nishma, as the Beis Halevi explains, we are your Avadim. We are not committing to do anything. We are committed to be your Avadim, and then whatever you tell us to do, we will do. We have our second pair. Remember Maimon Har Sinai, and remember Zachar Asher Hiksafta. Now we're up to the last two, which some of you might be thinking, how are we going to put these two together? The story of Miriam, Lashon Hara, and Zechiras Shabbos. What do these two have to do with each other? So let's first focus on Miriam. Miriam, we know the story, the end of Parshas Bahaloscha. Miriam says Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, which obviously it's special to talk about today. Moshe Rabbeinu's yard site. Hashem says, Miriam, you don't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu's different. Moshe Rabbeinu, he's a different kind of Navi. I speak to him differently than I speak to anybody else. It's one of the Animamins. Moshe Rabbeinu has to be always ready to speak to me. And that's why he can't have regular marital relations. That's why he has to be separate from family. Don't say Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. So Lashon Hara, that's the Zechira. Let's talk a little bit about the nature of Lashon Hara and what Lashon Hara reflects. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, in Source 19, Vayitzar Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofer min ha'adama. Hashem made man dirt from the earth Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he breathed into him a living spirit. Vayehi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. And man was an alive soul, a nefesh chaya. What exactly is meant by the words nefesh chaya, an alive soul? It just said 4 words ago, nishmas chayim. What's added by nefesh chaya? Writes the Unkelus on that pasuk in source number 20. What does nefesh chaya mean? That man became a live soul. Vahavis ba'adam l'ruach mimalala. Man became a talking creature. What the uniqueness of man is that he could talk. The koach adibur is what differentiates us from every other being in the world. The Sefer HaKuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes, there are 4 levels of being. On the bottom is what he calls the domain. The domain are the inanimate object, the rocks, the dirt. Above the domain are the tzomeach, the growers, the plants, the trees. Above the tzomeach, he calls chai, the alive creatures, animals, fish, birds, animals. Above chai is medaber, the speakers. Human beings are on top of the pyramid of creations in the world. What makes us unique as human beings is our koach hadibur. Says the Chafetz Chaim in Shmiras HaLashon, in Source 21, when a person uses their koach hadibur, or rather misuses their koach hadibur, then they're no better than animals. What differentiates us from the animal kingdom is that we have the koach hadibur to use positively, to use constructively. Writes the Chafetz Chaim, Behu Yadua, second line in Source 21, Ki Yusha Yisrona Adam Mikol Ba'alei Chayim, what man has above other creations, Hubamasha Hosif Bo'akadosh Baruch Hu Esa Nefesh HaMedaberes, that he has the koach to speak, Kamosha Kasev, and he quotes our Pasuk, Vayikpa Ba'afav Nishmas Chayim, and he quotes Unkelus, L'Ruach Mamalala, line 5, V'zehu Rakim Hu Mesakein, B'koach HaDibur, Asher Nosam Bo'akadosh Baruch Hu, that's only if we use it constructively. That's when our koach hadibur differentiates us from the animals. Lo kein imu mishtamish b'dibur l'ra. If we use our koach hadibur negatively for lashon hara, for nivol peh, for doing other things that Hashem did not give us our mouths for, hu garua yoser me habehema, or even worse than the animals, asher ala aris, they don't even have the potential. Ki hi einam kalkelas al kalpanim, the animals doesn't even do anything wrong. He doesn't have the koach, the power to speak. When a person misuses their koach hadibur, when we misuse the special power Hashem gave us, then we're no better and we're denying our special quality as human beings. There's an unbelievable thought suggested by Rav Schlesinger in Eretz Yisrael, who wrote the Sefer Elohim Moadai in Source 22, that's explained with this idea. We're going to read in a couple of months the story of Bilam and Balak, and we know Bilam is on his way to curse the Jews, and his donkey turns around to him and says, Bilam, what's up? Bilam, where are you going? Bilam, why are you going to curse the Jews? Ask of Schlesinger, why did God make such a miracle to give the power of speech to a donkey? Why didn't God just make a heavenly voice come out and say, Bilam, stop! Where are you going, Bilam? You had to come up with a miracle of the donkey, the Aton, talking. Why God have to do it? Even in Pirkei Avos, it says the Aton was created before the world. Why do we have to have such a nace for? Just have a heavenly voice. Bilam, stop it. Writes the Elohim Moadai. The donkey turns around to Bilam and says, Bilam, you're going to use your koach hadibur to curse the Jews. You're going to misuse your koach hadibur? God might have given the power of speech to animals if you're using it for that. You're no better than a talking donkey. You're using your koach hadibur. You're misusing your koach hadibur. God might have given the koach to me. He writes, where it's underlined in Source 22, She'imishtamish ba'adam b'koach hadibur shalo lahara la'acherim. If a person uses his koach hadibur to negatively affect others, k'mo she'asa Bilam, she'ishtamish imadibur shalo l'kalel, he tries to use his dibur to curse the Jews, ba'ofan kazeh, ein shum mosar ha'adam ala behema, then he's no better than me. When he went to curse the Jews, Vayiftach Hashem es pi ha'aton, God opens the mouth of the donkey. Ka'omer l'Bilam, as if to say to Bilam, im dibur kazeh, with speech like this, adif laseis koach hadibur l'chamor, Might as well have the donkey talking, Bilam, because you're no better than him. Remembering Miriam is remembering our unique quality as human beings. Remembering our koach hadibur, that's what makes us special. That what makes us unique among all creatures of the world. Zacharis Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. The last one. What about Shabbos? The Gemara in Beitza tells us in Source 23 that Shabbos is a special gift to the Jewish people. L'Das Ki Ani Hashem Akadishchem, Source 23, Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, Matana Tova Yesh Li B'Beis Genazai. I have a special gift in my treasure house. The Shabbos Shema. And Shabbos is its name. V'Ani Mevakish L'Tana L'Yisrael. And I want to give it to the Jewish people. How is Shabbos and why is Shabbos such a gift? If you ask any of us, we could say, because we can't live without Shabbos. Fine. But a little more. Why is Shabbos such a gift? Explains the Aruch HaShulchan. Yechiel Michal Epstein lived at the turn of the previous century. If we think about it, it makes sense that Pesach was not given to the other nations of the world. After all, Pesach is a historical event that our nation went through. Shavuos, Sukkos, any of our holidays, it makes a lot of sense that they were only given to the Jewish people and not to any other nations because the other nations didn't experience them. So Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Purim, Chanukah, of course they're only given to us because we're the only ones that experience them. And yet, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Shabbos is Zeichel L'Maaseh Bereishis. Shabbos helps us remember the creation of the world. Shabbos could have been given to everybody. Everybody went through Maaseh Bereishis. Everybody is Shayach Zeichel L'Maaseh Bereishis. And yet Shabbos was only given to us. Shabbos was only given to Am Yisrael. Shabbos reflects Hashem's love for us as His nation. Because Shabbos is the only one that there was a Havamina. It could have been given to everybody, and yet it wasn't. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos doesn't reflect this. Because they were only given to us. It was our history. Shabbos, though, could have been given to everybody else, and yet it wasn't. Shabbos reflects that Hashem loves us. Shabbos reflects that He wanted to give us a Matana Tova. Says the Aruch HaShulchan on the bottom, Shabbos Kodesh Ya'osa Gadol, it's the great sign, Shebein HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Ein Amo Yisrael, Kemo Shekasev Osi B'nei V'neichem. Shabbos is called that sign. L'Adaske Ani Hashem HaKadishchem. Klomar, in other words, last line, Afal Gav V'Shabbos U'Zeichel HaMaaseh Bereishis, even though Shabbos helps us remember the creation of the world, Kishesh Yom HaMasa Hashem Esrayim V'Sa'aretz, turning over. Where it's underlined, second line, the imkain, if so, he shayach l'kol beruei olam. Shabbos is really appropriate and could have been given to everybody. V'ein adom l'moadim, he's not like the other holidays. Sheheim zeichel yetzias Mitzrayim. She'ein l'shari ha'umos shayaches bazeh. They don't have any shayaches to the other holidays. Shabbos they have shayaches to. And yet it was given to us. Why? Shabbos reflects that Hashem loves us. The end of line 3, Lo nitnu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kedusha Shabbos, Rak L'Yisrael Bilvad. It was only given to Shabbos, it was only given to the Bnei Yisrael to show us that He loves us, to show us that He has a special place in His heart for us. And that's even, says the Aruch HaShulchan, something that we've said so many times in our life. Look at the fifth line, right in the middle, where it's bracketed. V'zeo sha'omrim, this is the pshat of what we say Shabbos morning in davening. V'lo nisato l'goye ha'aratzos. Hashem, You didn't give this Shabbos to the other nations. We don't say that on Yontif. We don't say such a lashon on Yontif. Hashem, thank You for not giving Pesach to the other nations. Of course He didn't give it to the other nations. Doesn't make sense to give it to the other nations. Shabbos He could have given to the other nations, and yet He didn't. And we acknowledge that in our tefillah. Hashem, thank You. Shabbos reflects the special connection between a Jew and God. And that is even why, on a halachic level, the Rambam paskins that there are only two mitzvos that a non-Jew is not allowed to do. If a non-Jew wants to wear tzitzis, put on tefillin, okay, fine. He could do 611. There are two that he's not allowed to do. A non-Jew is not allowed to learn Torah, topic of a separate shir, and a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Torah, obviously. The Rambam writes in Source 26, a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Why? Because Shabbos represents the personal love that God has for us. He gave us Shabbos because he loves us. If we think about it, the last two of the Zechiros, Miriam and Shabbos, maybe we could put them together as well. Remembering Miriam, remembering Lashon Hara, is remembering Bechiras Ha'adam, remembering the chosenness of mankind. Zechira Shabbos is remembering the chosenness of the Jewish people. The last two are about remembering our Bechira. First, as Bechiras Ha'adam, and second, as Bechiras Yisrael. We are speakers, Miriam, and we are Jews. Shabbos. Zachar is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. We have our three pairs. So just to review before we try to put it all together, we started off with the Shei Zechiros, the six mitzvos that the Torah goes out of its way to tell us to remember. And though they are six separate, disparate statements, we said maybe we could put them all together. We made three pairs. First we have Amalek and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Amalek symbolizes the nation that tried to undermine the Emunah. Hashem's not in charge. And Yetzias Mitzrayim says, no, Hashem is in charge. Hashkachas Hashem, the Ramban says, there are many mitzvos that are Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Number two, we said, Maimed Har Sinai, and what happened in Marah. We remember that we serve God. We became his Avadim at Har Sinai. Na'aseh v'nishma, according to the Beis HaLevi. And Hashem gave us Para Aduma in Marah, the message that we serve God based on not understanding everything he tells us, but because of our unwavering commitment to him. And finally, the last set, Zechiras Miriam and Zechiras Shabbos, we remember our chosenness as people, and our chosenness as Jews. Six, that became three. Just one final word, maybe we can make these three into one. If we put all three together, the first two are about what Hashem does, his hashgacha upon us. The next two are about what we do, our commitment to him. Na'aseh v'nishma, we became his servants. We serve him, though we don't understand everything. And the third set is about the beautiful relationship between us, between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael, as humans and as Jews. First two about Hashem, second two about us, third about the relationship between us. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos, on the last page in Source 27, that Hashem wears tefillin, just like the Jewish people wear tefillin. What does it say in the Jewish people's tefillin? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Hashem, you're number one. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Shomer Yisrael, Shemar She'eris Yisrael, Mi Ka'amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Hashem is also in love with us as we are in love with him. And as we say in the tefillah, the beautiful tefillah, five times on Yom Kippur, in the last source, so many descriptions of the marriage between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anu vanecha, v'yata avinu, anu avadecha, we are your servants, we are your sheep, we are your vineyard, we are your beloved. The Shei Zechiros, that some have the minhag to say, and even if one doesn't have the minhag, the messages are forever. Experiential memory, as Rav Soloveitchik said, we remember everything that God does for us. We remember everything that we commit to do for him. And we remember the beautiful marriage that we have together. Thank you very much.